Brook Cherith in just a few minutes. Let's just briefly remind ourselves that the man we study, the man of God named Elijah, was the man whose name meant, "My God is Jehovah." As far as Ahab and Jezebel, their God was the storm god, Baal. But Elijah's God was the God of the storm. He was the one who controlled the elements then, and he does still do so today, of course. And so we learned on Lord's Day evening that Elijah was the man committed, courageous, and in communion with his God. You know, beloved, God still uses men and women like that. I'd really like to be an individual like that, enjoying his fellowship, being given totally and completely to him. Really, the story of Elijah is not the story necessarily of God's dealings with Elijah, although that is true. But to me, I like to think of this story and these various narratives throughout the story of Elijah as experiences during which God used Elijah as a vehicle through which to display his power. We'll see that this morning as God displayed his power for the benefit and blessing of his servant. We'll turn for our reading to the 17th chapter of 1 Kings, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be, that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass, after a while, that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Let's pray God will guide us in our study as we look at Elijah. Father, in the precious name of thy risen Son, we come to thee this morning. We pray that in a very real sense we will be aware of your nearness. Please, may the Spirit of God, through that still small voice, speak to each of us, we pray, for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Elijah, God's man in hiding. God told Elijah to go and hide at the brook called Cherith. What an unusual command. As we look at the man named Elijah this morning, let's think of the plan of God, the provisions of God, and the purposes of God as seen in the life of this great and very unique man. The plan of God, I think, is outlined for us in verses 2 and 3. And the word of God came unto him, saying, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan." God had a plan for the life of Elijah. And beloved, God has a plan for your life and mine. Now I know that we might say, "Well, look, my life is pretty well gone. I've had a good life and God's blessed me and I've known his guidance and his direction through life." But I believe with all my heart that as long as God gives us breath to enjoy the day, God has a plan for us to live for his glory and to carry out his plan and purposes as he has made them known. May you and I, regardless of age, seek to know God's will, that in turn we might have the holy luxury of living for the one who gave his son for us. Now, Elijah was not going to be guided or directed by the voice of fellow Israelites. If we have learned anything already, it is this, that Elijah was God's man. And he was totally dependent on the voice of the Lord to give guidance and direction in every way. And he heard God's voice. How wonderful that when great men, men God has chosen, listen to the voice of our God. The steps of a good man, says the psalmist in 37, are ordered by the Lord. And if you and I as individuals, brethren or sisters, want to know God's will in our lives, we have to hear that voice. Not through this ear, but through this heart. And I believe with all my heart, beloved, that it necessitates us being close to Him, with a life uncluttered by sin, and all that would detract from knowing His will and purposes for our life, to understand Him in every way. Well might the wise man of the Proverbs say in chapter 3, 5, and 6 these words, "The step, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Oh, to listen to Him, to hear His voice, to know His will. Brother said to me this morning as we walked into the chapel, what a day he had had yesterday as he spent it in the book. And God spoke to him and God blessed him. My dear friend Leslie Rainey, a brother to whom I've already made reference and one I love most dearly, I well remember him speaking to a large youth camp at Lilloli, upper New York, in New York State. And as he did, he said this to those young people. "Young man, remember this. The only thing you take with you into eternity is your knowledge of God." Beloved, it's true. Lehman Strauss has said he has never yet seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. It's our knowledge of God. That's all we take with us. Aren't we fortunate? Aren't we blessed? We have a book right here, the like of which Elijah and the worthies of this book knew nothing. But you and I are privileged to have a complete copy on our lap, to enjoy, and in so doing, enjoy and learn the word of our God. Elijah's steps were certainly ordered by the Lord. And this he knew well before his appearance before Ahab. He had learned it in the solitude alone with God. And he was directed of God. And when he stood before Ahab, he stood resolutely, firmly fixed on the plan of God for his life and the plan of God for Israel. And so, without fear or without hesitation, he could say, "There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word," the word he would receive from his great God. How wonderful then, when given over to the plan and the purpose of our God, we know his will. I repeat, that, beloved, was because Elijah was prepared to listen. Tragically, we as believers, even mature believers, we get our lives all cluttered up at times with the events of life and the concerns of living. And we fail to hear the voice that is there to speak to us. What did God say? It was so personal when he spoke to Elijah. He said simply, "Get thee hence eastward." Elijah, get moving. And God was going to use his man on the move in a variety of ways, as we will see through our study this week. Get thee eastward, verse 3. I would like to suggest that the east suggests going toward God and going to where God is. And I'm confident that if I could eyeball it with each one this morning, that your desire is to know the presence of God in your life. Not only here in the chapel, but in the quietness of your own room, when on bended knee, or alone with God in the big chair, you know what it is just to commune with Him. Jim Ryder said, and He walks with me, and He talks with me. Isn't it great? What a privilege. Poor mortal sinners once on their way to hell, and yet this morning, privilege to be able to speak to the God of heaven, and privilege to have Him speak to us. What an honor. And so it was eastward Elijah, and off he went. And the steps of this good man were going to be ordered by God. Notice his obedience in verse 5. Lord said, go eastward. So he went. And I love these words. You know, a period could have appeared there. So he went. But it doesn't stop there. And did according to the word of the Lord. Obedience took him to Cherith, the brook that God had identified. And he was prepared to go. He went. With the expectation and the knowledge, beloved, he was in the mind of God. Oh, the luxury, the holy luxury of knowing this. I am in God's mind and will. Can't understand it at times. But even in retrospect, and sometimes retrospect is far better. We look back and we can say, isn't it wonderful the way the Lord blessed us? Helen and I have had that experience this very year. We've looked back and we said, isn't that wonderful? The Lord led us there, and He led us there, and He led us there. And at the time, we may not have realized it as fully as we do today. But that's the kind of a God we have. Our God is full of surprises. And He blesses, and blesses so richly and abundantly. And He sent him to Cherith. I always enjoy the meanings of Bible names. And Cherith has an interesting meaning. It means the place of cutting. That suggests to me separation. That was the experience the people of Israel had in that day when God introduced the ordinance to them. It was separation. Beloved, the men who walk with God and the women who walk with God are separate to Him and Him alone. Oh, it's true, we're separate from the world. And well may we be, but that isn't why we want to live a separate life, separated life, because we want to be separated to our God. And so we give ourselves to Him. And at the brook Cherith, that's what Elijah would learn. It was the place of cutting. I want to suggest this morning that the men who hear God's voice are observant. It's the voice of God. He's leading me. Those who know the voice of God are obedient. Those who appreciate the voice of God are separated to Him. Oh, beloved, what a luxury to be separated to the God of high heaven and to live for Him. Elijah's obedience was an act of obedience. Verse 5 simply says, he went. He went. God said it. He did it. God said, go, Elijah went, and that was it. Obedience to the omnipotent, and off he went. Obedience to be obedience must be acted upon. It's one thing to know the will of God, but it is totally another thing to perform and to do the will of God. You remember, it was Moses who on numerous occasions, as led of the Lord, gave commandments of God to the people of Israel. They were numerous. They were to obey His voice. And tragically, there were times when they disobeyed. Ye shall walk after the Lord, said Moses. Ye shall fear the Lord. Ye shall keep His commandments. Ye shall obey His voice. Ye shall serve Him. Ye shall cleave to Him. But you know as well as I, as we review the history of the people of God of a distant day, tragically, They failed on numerous occasions to obey God. And with what tragic results. Oh, beloved, I repeat, may you and I know the luxury of obeying our great God. I think of Jonah. You remember the sad story. Jonah was told to go on the bidding of God, arise and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up unto me. But Jonah arose and fled to Tarshish. Elijah was active obedience. Jonah was active disobedience. In which category do you and I fall this morning? Oh, I pray that we know what it is to obey our God. Fortunately, there was that day when God spoke in such a traumatic way to his servant. And after having spent those days within the inner recesses of the great fish, why, he was ejected up onto dry land. Then what did he do? Then Jonah went to Nineveh and he preached. He warned of coming judgment. And there was repentance. If only he had done so in the first place. Beloved, may you and I know what it is to be actively obedient. But then, this was, as far as Elijah was concerned, instantaneous obedience. God said, go. And I repeat, Elijah went. So he went. That was it. God expects the same from you and of me. You remember in that precious experience of the man named Saul of Tarsus. On the Damascus thruway, he had met God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had met the one he was proclaiming to have been crucified, now dead, and have gone into corruption. But God gave him a glimpse of the exalted Christ, and he saw him. Last of all was Paul's testimony. He was seen of me. I saw him in the glory. And on that memorable occasion, when as he speaks to the voice in the glory from the dust of the thruway, he says, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. What wilt thou have me to do? Prepare, committed to be obedient to God. Was he? He most certainly was. Beloved, let us remind ourselves in the words of the same great apostle, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. And what a price, the price of precious, precious shed blood. We don't belong to ourselves. Arnett McEntee doesn't belong to Arnett McEntee, nor do you. Stop and think about it. What we have doesn't belong to us. What we have and enjoy, he has given us on loan. They're his, to be used for his glory. We belong to our owner. I like the rendering of a verse. Ye are not your own. You've been bought with a price. And another rendering puts it this way. Or rather, I'm thinking of Paul as he speaks in Galatians chapter 6 and 17. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Another rendering puts it this way. I bear in my scarred body the brand marks of my owner, the Lord Jesus Christ. 195 lashes had fallen on that back. 3 times that he'd been beaten with rods. And he says, these are just the marks that identify me as belonging to my owner, the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, what is it that identifies you and me as belonging to him? There should be those things. I will never forget in those days of high school teaching. I would be on corridor duty as the classes changed, and a young man would walk down the corridor. A black boy, when it wasn't beautiful to be black. On the top of his stack of books, a copy of this book. He was one of our most outstanding athletes, respected and appreciated by his fellow students. But it was this book that marked him as a child of God. His name? Thought you'd never ask. Ralph Bell, Associate Evangelist of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. A man who even in his teens was identified as a man of God. May you and I know what it is to have those things that indicate we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come with me for a moment and observe the servant of all servants. He's bowed low in bloody sweat in Gethsemane's cold garden. I hear him as he prays to his Father. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Beloved, what an example. Are our lives being lived for him? This was a man who was in complete obedience to God. For he went and did according to the word of the Lord in verse 5. It was an unusual request that God made of him, wasn't it? Why, he was to go to the brook and to the birds, and there his needs would be met as always. And so he followed implicitly the command of the word of the Lord. But God always blesses those who obey him. He did so to ancient Abraham. God told him to get himself out of that place, Ur of the Chaldees, and off he went to a land he didn't know. But God blessed him. Elijah was in complete obedience. And it was rewarded obedience. What happened? Verse 6. The ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and in the evening. You see, God still keeps his word to those who obey him. All he wants, beloved, is your obedience. This book tells me, and I wish I had time to go into it, just to go down the path for a moment or two. When God, through his servant Samuel, says to Saul, who has disobeyed him, Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. I reread that passage last night, and my heart was moved. God rejected the man he had placed in authority over Israel. Tragic, but true. God was sorry that ever he had placed Saul as king of Israel. Why? Because he disobeyed him. Oh, that you and I might know the joy of obedience, to rest in his will, and to give ourselves in happy, obedient service to him. But then notice God's provision. It was simply this, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Think of it. This man had room service, morning and night. The ravens flew in from distant points. They dropped their bounty in the presence of God's man. Brought him meat and brought him bread. And when he was thirsty, he stooped low at the babbling brook and cupped up the water and drank it down for his daily refreshment. But what thrills me, beloved, this morning is God uses who he will to supply the need of his servants. He chose the raven. Significant thing is simply this. It was an unclean bird. It normally ate the rodents, small creatures, and ate those and devoured them. But under the command of the God who had made them, those ravens had been commissioned to bring meat and to bring bread into the very presence of God's servant. Ravens often neglected their own. So those who know tell us, they let them die. But not God's servant. When God said to that raven or those ravens, "Now, I have a task for you to do. Pick up that piece of bread. You take it to my servant. You don't eat it en route." They brought the bread and they brought the meat and laid it in the presence of God's man. Under the direction of a sovereign God, they brought strange food as far as their diet was concerned. They did so at the bidding of God to meet the needs of God's servants. Beloved, and it is still the same. The powers of nature may be limited, but not the powers of the God of nature. He met the need of his servant. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Down by the brook Cherith? He most certainly can. He met the need of 3 million and more for over 40 years as they walked their wayward path across the wilderness. How about you? Can he meet your need? You want to believe he can. Helen and I know a young man and his family who are going through needs of a financial nature, serious needs. She was thrilled the other day in her devotions when she said to me, "Why, all we're asked to do is ask for our daily food. Give us this day our daily bread." And our God does that, whatever that bread or need might be, and he will bless you. Beloved, God meets the need of his people, be it food, be it financial, be it employment. My God shall supply all your needs. He will meet your needs. He's met your greatest need, that of everlasting salvation. How wonderful to know he will never leave us nor forsake us. What a God we have. Used to be an old preacher in our area. His name was George Shivas. To say he was a quaint and an unusual man is certainly the truth. But George Shivas used to remind us as he preached on that precious verse, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," that it read the same backwards as frontwards. Thee leave? Thee forsake? Never will I. That's the kind of God Elijah had. And you know what? That's the kind of a God you have. Enjoy him today. May he bless you as we pause to pray. Father, from the bottom of our collective hearts, we just want to lift our voices and thank you from the depths of our beings for the God you are, that thou couldst be the God to me and be the God thou art. It's darkness to mine intellect, but it's sunshine to my heart. Thank you, Father, for all your love. May we know your nearness, love, and presence this day. We pray in Jesus.